Georgia is gone with the wind country. From Scarlett O'Hara to the Red Earth of Tara, the world conjured by Margaret Mitchell in her 1936 Pulitzer Prize-winning novel continues to capture the imaginations of readers, many of whom visit the state in search of tangible links to its storied past. A natural starting point for our journey is the Margaret Mitchell House, a three-story Tudor Revival apartment building in Midtown, where Mitchell wrote the Civil War epic. Toured the small ground floor flat she shared with her husband, beginning in the front sitting room where the former Atlanta Journal reporter worked at a small desk by the window. In addition to Mitchell's living quarters, you'll find exhibitions on her life, from her girlhood obsession with war stories to her later philanthropic work, which included supporting medical students at Morehouse College and an emergency room for black patients at Grady Hospital. The Margaret Mitchell House also takes a thoughtful look at the controversy surrounding the book's stereotypical portrayal of black characters and the romanticizing of plantation life in the antebellum South. You'll also want to check out the Margaret Mitchell exhibition at the Atlanta Public Library's downtown branch, which showcases her typewriter, Pulitzer Prize, and books she consulted while researching the novel. And be sure to stop by Historic Oakland Cemetery, where Mitchell was laid to rest in 1949. Atlanta was also the home of Joel Chandler Harris, who penned the popular Uncle Remus stories in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. The tales, which feature Br'er Rabbit, Br'er Fox, and a host of other creature characters, were based on traditional African-American folk tales Harris heard from slaves when he was a boy. His 1870 Southwest Atlanta home, the Wren's Nest, named for the small bird that took up residence in the mailbox, is the city's oldest house museum. On a guided tour of the Queen Anne Victorian home, you'll learn more about Harris's life, as well as African-American folklore traditions. You'll also be treated to a glimpse of upper-middle-class life in turn-of-the-century Atlanta, as the original furnishings remain largely intact. Take a step further back in time on a visit to Harris's birthplace of Eatonton, about an hour southeast of Atlanta. The plantation where Harris spent his teenage years no longer stands, but the stories live on at the town's Uncle Remus Museum. Inside the log structure, formed by the joining of two former slave cabins, you'll find enchanting dioramas featuring Harris's critters, as well as international editions of Uncle Remus books and antebellum artifacts. You'll also learn about the two worlds the young Harris came to know, the fantastic realm of wily animals brought to life by slaves in their quarters, and the brutal reality of slave life in the surrounding fields. African folklore also finds expression in the works of another Eatonton-born author, Alice Walker. Her best-known book, The Color Purple, won both the National Book Award for Fiction and the Pulitzer Prize, the first one awarded to an African-American woman. Set in rural Georgia during the first half of the 20th century, the epistolary novel illuminates the lives of black women in the South. Pick up an Alice Walker driving tour map, available at the Plaza Arts Center, and head a few miles east of town to the countryside where she grew up. Purple signs mark significant sites, including the church in which she was baptized and the cemetery where her parents and other family members are buried. The highlight of the tour is Walker's childhood home, which houses a modest museum, displaying family photos, a family tree, and handmade items, such as an antebellum quilt sewed by area slaves. But it's the setting that truly thrills. The pastures surrounding the house are flecked with purple wildflowers, and you can easily imagine a young Walker surveying those fields, storing them away, and decades later, rolling them out in the pages of The Color Purple. You almost expect to spy Seeley and Shug strolling among the blooms. Return to downtown Eatonton and stop in at the Georgia Writers Museum, which celebrates the work of Harris, Walker, and another of the region's famous authors, Flannery O'Connor. Then head south to Milledgeville and O'Connor's home, Andalusia Farm. Regarded as one of the greatest short story writers of the 20th century, O'Connor spent her most productive years at this middle Georgia farm she shared with her mother. She lived just a few miles away in downtown Milledgeville during her teenage years. She hadn't intended to spend the bulk of her adult life at Andalusia. She launched her writing career in the Northeast, but in 1951, at the age of 25, she returned home after suffering life-threatening complications associated with lupus. And it was here, until her death in 1964, that O'Connor spun her Southern Gothic tales, set in the countryside, peopled with misfits and outsiders, and shot through with dark humor. Begin your tour of the property at the two-story white-clobbered house. Three rooms: O'Connor's bedroom, which doubled as her office, the dining room, where she entertained guests, and the kitchen, featuring mid-century appliances, appear much as they did during O'Connor's time. her crutches rest against the writing desk by the window where she watched the farm's activities and drew inspiration for her stories. A manual ice crusher bolted to the kitchen wall saw plenty of use when she served martinis to dinner guests or welcomed visitors to the front porch with glasses of sweet tea or Coca-Cola. Of course, no trip to Andalusia Farm would be complete without a visit to the peacock enclosure behind the house. O'Connor kept up to 50 peafowl on the property. Today, two birds call the farm home. Pick up a collection of O'Connor's stories, perhaps A Good Man is Hard to Find, the 1955 book that first brought her wide acclaim, and pull up a chair next to the peacocks. Spend half an hour reading a story on the site where it came into being. And before we wrap up our tour of the Literary South, I wanted to leave you with five other famous literary houses that didn't fall into our itinerary but still warrant a visit. First off, the Ernest Hemingway Home and Museum in Key West. Something about balmy Key West inspired Ernest Hemingway to enter the most prolific phase of his career. In 1931, he purchased the Spanish Colonial House, where he lived with his family until 1940. You can tour his studio, decorated with big game trophies and patrolled by 40 polydactyl or six-toed cats, all of them descended from the pet a sea captain gave Hemingway. Next on our list, the Thomas Wolfe Memorial in Asheville, North Carolina. Larger than life in stature and genius, Thomas Wolfe's personality looms over the side of the old Kentucky home boarding house once operated by his mother. It was depicted as Dixieland in his 1929 novel, Look Homeward, Angel. It's also the starting point for the self-guided walking tour of Wolfe's Asheville, which includes many structures mentioned in his books. Next up, Marjorie Kennan Rawlings' historic state park in Hawthorne, Florida. This cracker-style homestead, where Marjorie Kennan Rawlings penned the yearling and where fellow writer Zora Neale Hurston paid her a visit, has been restored with frontier authenticity. Docents offer tours in 1930s costume, and chickens and roosters still roam the yard, shaded by orange trees. After that, hit the Alex Haley House Museum and Interpretive Center in Henning, Tennessee. Tour Haley's boyhood home and view a full-sized replica of a slave ship. You can also watch an 18-minute documentary about the consciousness-raising phenomenon of roots. There are also genealogy sessions, which assist visitors in tracing their own family trees, and a gift shop offering copies of Haley's books. Finally, the Carl Sandburg Home National Historic Site in Flat Rock, North Carolina. This bucolic site in the mountains of western North Carolina preserves the home's sprawling home and pasture land. His wife Lillian raised her prize-winning dairy goats here, and you can still see her three breeds in the dairy barn. Visit on November 26th or December 17th for holiday storytelling and musical performances. Thanks for joining me on this tour of the Literary South. I hope you enjoyed our visits with the region's legendary authors and books and became reacquainted with some old friends or perhaps made some new ones. For City Lights and WABE, I'm Kevin Benefield.